And right now I'm very happy to introduce to you David Swanson. He's a co-founder of the movement website AfterDowningStreet.org and author of the books Daybreak, On Doing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. His latest book is titled War is a Lie. And David has a very interesting article just published titled Our Tahrir Square, D.C.'s Freedom Plaza on October 6th. David, welcome back. Thanks for being here tonight.
Be here as always.
Thanks, David. Before we get to your challenging article about a proposal for a set of very important and long-running protests in Washington, I wanted to talk to you about what we're reading in the papers today, and that is there's talk of troop withdrawals, larger numbers than recently discussed by the Obama administration from Afghanistan. And at the same time, it's unclear as to whether the White House and Pentagon have intentions for a full and complete withdrawal from Iraq by the end of this year, as agreed upon in their treaty with the government of Iraq, given that there's some noises now about extending the stay of maybe thousands of troops in the nation of Iraq. But all this is part of a piece, David, and I wonder if you'd sort of give us your analysis of what's going on.
Well, I dispute the basic facts that are being presented by the New York Times and others. I mean, you have a headline saying that they're talking about a steeper withdrawal of troops, and you look at the numbers, and the numbers are smaller than anything we've seen before. This is a president and a vice president and others in the administration who've been promising, swearing a significant, substantial withdrawal in July for a year and a half. And now in recent weeks you've heard, well, it might be 5,000 troops, right? This is, and then you find out, well, it's actually troops and contractors adding up to 5,000. And that's not out of a total of 100,000. That's out of a total of 200,000 or so troops and contractors in Afghanistan. So that's about 2.5%. Now you start seeing numbers ranging from 3,000 to 5,000. So you've got a range of 1.5 to 2.5% of the Americans in Afghanistan being pulled out in July. And the New York Times, without suggesting any numbers, says, and it might be even more than that. Well, you know, it could be either extreme in this big range that they're now debating between 3,000 and 5,000 men and women. In either case, it doesn't begin to amount to what's been promised here, right? I mean, this is a president who did keep his promises on Afghanistan from the campaign. He said, I'm going to escalate it, that's the good war, and he did so. But later, as president, he promised a serious withdrawal this July, and now appears to be backing off from that. And, you know, we didn't elect him on that promise, and we can't vote him out on this backing off. We have to have some sort of way to pressure these people to listen to us in between elections. And on Iraq as well, you know, both Iraq and Afghanistan are looking like endless occupations. And Libya is starting to look like an endless occupation itself. We need somehow to change course here drastically.
Could it be that, as you described it, the New York Times is sort of complicit with the Obama administration in engineering low expectations for the eventual numbers of troops withdrawn from Afghanistan, sort of a wink and a nod between the White House and the New York Times editorial board there?
Certainly seems to be the case. There was another New York Times article today with a headline and lead paragraphs about how, according to the Afghan government, the Taliban is aiming its attacks at preventing the transfer of power from the U.S. to the Afghan government. And you get down to the last paragraph of the article, and they reveal that that's actually probably nonsense, and the facts don't seem to bear it out. Why run articles with headlines and leads that are blatantly contradicted by the close of the articles? Why run articles that talk about, you know, steeper withdrawals when the numbers, if anything, are shrinking from 5,000 down to 3,000 to 5,000? I don't know, unless it's just habit of taking dictation and doing stenography. But the New York Times has tended to be a supporter of wars and arguments for wars. So you be the judge.
Obama, when he talked about a withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan this summer, was vague, certainly on the numbers. Although substantial troops doesn't sound like just a few thousand, maybe support soldiers and contractors. What do you think would meet that pledge of Obama to withdraw a significant number of troops?
Well, this same new New York Times article sort of pushes off the withdrawal of 30,000 troops to some distant goal in the future over the horizon. And yet this is a president who has escalated this war by 60 or 70,000 troops, plus a similar number of contractors. And those have both been described as surges. You know, one was in 2009, happened with almost no public debate or discussion. The next one happened at the end of 2009 and in 2010, and there was a lot of discussion about it, and it was the big surge, and that's where the promise was made that the withdrawal would start in July, with a big withdrawal in July and proceeding from there. So as long as those are going to be considered surges, I think they have to end. I think you have to pull out those 70,000 troops plus contractors and get back to the level you were at before, and then continue, because the Afghan people don't want them there. The American people overwhelmingly don't want them there. The rule of law is against it. Our budget is against it. The natural environment, our civil liberties, our own representative government are against it. There's not an argument for staying.
David, I wanted to turn to some action in Congress this past week. It seems that Dennis Kucinich, representative of Ohio, proposed a quick withdrawal from Afghanistan and a piece of legislation. It looked like it was going to get enough votes to pass the House between a coalition of progressive Democrats and some libertarian and Tea Party types who don't want to see the United States involved in Afghanistan any longer. What do you make of this, and the eventual result, which was Speaker of the House Boehner substituted his own kind of wishy-washy substitute, which did pass?
Yeah, I mean, it was remarkable on Thursday the extent to which there was panic in the halls of power that this was going to pass. And I consider Congressman Kucinich a friend. I worked for him 7 years ago on his campaign for president. I had no idea that this would come close to passing, and was very much surprised as this developed. And a lot of it was by no means principled progressive Democrats or principled libertarian Republicans. It was Republicans in huge numbers who don't like the president because he's a Democrat. And the reason I say that is not just the list of names I could give you, but the fact that Thursday night Boehner came up with this resolution that has no teeth whatsoever, does absolutely nothing, doesn't even go to the Senate for a vote, just expresses the emotions of the House of Representatives as of last Friday. And that was good enough for these Republicans. And they wanted to express their opinion. They wanted to take a position. They wanted to be commentators or court jesters, as members from both parties denounced their own branch of the government as during the debate on Friday. They openly admitted they don't legislate anymore. They do commentary. And that's all they wanted. So substituting for a one-sentence bill that says, thou must get out of Libya within 15 days, an absolutely meaningless piece of rhetoric that goes on for seven pages of nonsense, that was good enough for them. And I don't mean to be, to be pointing the finger at the Republicans, right? The Democrats, for the most part, would have jumped at voting for such a thing if the president were a Republican, and most of them never considered voting for it. And yet, in the end, with the resolution guaranteed not to pass and the Boehner resolution having already passed, you still had 60-some Democrats and 80-some Republicans vote for the Kucinich resolution, which is a surprising show of force for actually standing up for the continued existence of Congress as a branch in our government, which supporters of both resolutions actually articulated in speeches the likes of which haven't been heard in years and years on Friday in the House, and they all got up and agreed with each other's rhetoric but disagreed with which resolution actually fulfilled that rhetoric.
Well, looking down the road, do you see any hope there may be kind of a strange bedfellows coalition that could emerge to say, look, times are tough. The Pentagon is, we're no longer in a Cold War, and the Pentagon just cannot absorb a grand percentage of our nation's economy anymore. Do you see any sort of path towards a recognition that, the Soviets are gone and we don't need this level of militarism in the country anymore?
I think so. It's tricky how it's done, both in terms of bringing together Congress members and in terms of bringing together activists and activist organizations. And it may in fact be easier in the former case, but I think it is entirely possible. But it's possible because of the partisan lineup. That is, you're going to have the principled anti-war Democrats for sanity and justice in the world lining up with a bunch of Republicans. And if that bunch of Republicans is significantly large, if it's large enough to get you to a majority in the House, it will be because the president's a Democrat. That's as silly as making our news all be about people's sex lives and so forth, but it's a useful thing if it serves a useful purpose. Thus far it hasn't. And the leadership of these two parties is very, very strong and very, very powerful, and is able to control their members. So you have to have a situation where enough Republicans really want to oppose something of Obama's to the extent that they're willing to defy the threats and the bribes of their own party leader.
David Swanson is our guest. He's co-founder of the movement website AfterDowningStreet.org and author of the books Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. And his latest book is titled War is a Lie. David, you wrote a very interesting article recently titled Our Tahrir Square, D.C.'s Freedom Plaza on October 6th. You're proposing organizing a sustained protest movement a la Egypt, Tunisia, what's going on in Spain, that would not just be a nice Saturday afternoon out and, as you said in the article, patting ourselves on the back for being good protesters, but actually a sustained movement that will have more impact here in the United States. Tell us about that proposal.
Right, and as the firemen shut down Madison, Wisconsin today, if we can shut down Madison, Wisconsin, we certainly have a responsibility to shut down Washington, D.C. And as I've talked to people around the country and I ask them, do you want to come to Washington for another rally or speeches or march or, make home movies and go back home, there's not much interest. But do you want to come for the one big event that you'll be able to tell your grandkids you were part of, where we actually get in the way and shut things down and hurt the war machine and the Wall Street funding, misrepresenting government until it begins to listen to the people? Then they say, yeah, I'm there. I'll quit my job. I'll risk relationships with my loved ones. I'll do what it takes. I'll be there. And so it's not just me proposing this. A number of people and groups had this idea around the same time some weeks back and have now put together an initial coalition that's announced an invitation for more groups and organizations and individuals to join in. And you can actually go to October2011.org and sign up that you'll be there. You can even sign up I'll be there only if at least 50,000 other people will be there with me, and then we'll fill you in on how many people are going to be there. I expect it will be well over that number, and the intention is very much to nonviolently occupy Freedom Plaza, which has a nice resonance with Tahrir Square, and to get in the way and to shut things down until our government begins to listen to us.
And is the objective of this protest on October 6th directed at the U.S. wars abroad in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya?
Well, one demand is clearly to end these wars, particularly in Afghanistan, which is the largest and which is the longest and hits the 10-year mark on October 6th and goes into year 11. But, you know, we don't expect to win every conceivable demand immediately. We expect it to be an ongoing movement, but we expect to maintain the occupation and the interference until we've won some significant demands. And the extent of those demands will be shaped by the coalition that's just beginning to form. But it will be an ongoing struggle forever and ever and ever, just as in Egypt. There are protests today in Alexandria and elsewhere. I mean, it will never end. But it has to get started. We don't yet have an independent movement that pushes majority opinion and peace and justice outside of political parties and without the distortion and that subservience to political parties. And if we can create that, and our representatives have to answer to us at least a little bit, not just to their funders, then we'll build from there.
David, it's fascinating. Tell us a bit about the coalition partners on this project.
Well, we started out with peace groups, Veterans for Peace and peace and justice activists in D.C. and Baltimore and the East Coast area who started talking about this. And we're discussing the plans with, you know, with local groups in Washington and nearby cities that work on domestic issues and issues of justice outside of the peace movement. We're reaching out to labor unions, to environmental groups, to financial justice groups, and there's a great many organizations already listed there at October2011.org and a great many in discussions about how they can be a part of it. And we're asking, you know, national, state, local, all kinds of organizations and individuals to sign on, that you'll promote it, you'll encourage people to be there, and you'll be there. And, you know, we're hearing from groups across the country that are planning travel arrangements, planning preparations, want to know how they can help with food and shelter and everything else we'll need. I think it will be a remarkable experience and inspire people just to be a part of it.
And any significance to that date, October 6th?
Well, a couple of things. One is that that's the date 10 years ago, U.S. time. It was October 7th in Afghanistan that this war began, the longest war in U.S. history that will begin its second decade on October 7th. The other is that October starts the new fiscal year, the 2012 federal budget, which of course does rather poorly by just about everything except the military and the wars. And this is, of course, our goal, is to refocus our priorities so that we don't just end the wars and bring that money home, but put it to good use. You know, we could use decent health care and retirements and education and green energy and jobs rather than the killing and the suffering.
All right. Well, David, this is exciting news, and we hope to get an update from you on organizing for this protest in future weeks. So let's stay in touch and have you back on the air to talk more about it. But let's leave our listeners with the website for the October 6th demonstration and any other little pieces of info you want to leave people with.
Well, it's October2011.org, 2011.org. October is all spelled out, October2011.org, and you can say you'll be there. You can say you'll be there if 50,000 others will be there. You can find out about travel help or offer to help others with travel. You can volunteer any type of skill or assistance you can offer, and you can get involved with all the organizations that are a part of it.
David, thanks for doing what you're doing and spending time with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care, David. Bye-bye. David Swanson, co-founder of the movement website AfterDowningStreet.org, and now being part of a coalition organizing the October 6th, 2011 demonstration, October2011.org, whose one principal demand is ending the Iraq War as it enters its second decade.